Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dätwyler Group discussion on Q3 and nine months 2020 unaudited IFRS financial results on the 2nd of November 2020. Throughout today's recorded presentation, all participants will be in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. Before we start, we would like to draw your attention to the fact that some of the information during this call contains projections or other forward-looking statements regarding future events or future financial performance of Dätwyler Group. You can identify forward-looking statements by terms such as expect, believe, anticipate, estimate, intend, will, could, may, or might, the negative of such terms, or similar expressions. We wish to caution you that these statements are only predictions and that actual events or results may differ materially. We do not intend to update these statements to reflect events or circumstances occurring after today's date or to reflect the occurrence of unanticipated events. Many factors could cause the actual results to differ materially from those contained in our projections or forward-looking statements, including, amongst others, depreciating economic and credit conditions, our competitive environment, risks associated with operating in Russia, rapid technological and market changes in our industries, as well as many other risks specifically related to Dätwyler Group and its operations.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. My name is Maria Davidova. I am CEO of Dätwyler Company. First of all, I would like to introduce my team. Here with me, Anna Garmanova, our CFO, and Sergej Levitsky, Head of Strategy and IR of Dätwyler Company. Let's start our presentation. I would like to ask you to open slide three, and we will briefly take a look at our achievements in Q3 of this year. First of all, I would like to note that our team had been successfully dealing with the current coronavirus crisis. We once again proved our high resilience in the face of the crisis, and let me remind you that in Q2, our team has not successfully recovered the revenue losses suffered in April, but also could demonstrate positive adjusted EBITDA growth. In Q3, we fully brought our business back to normal, returning to double-digit growth in total sales, and total revenue increased by 13.5% year-on-year. In October, we managed to accelerate total sales growth to over 16%, and moreover, like-for-like sales growth reached 8% with 4% growth in number of tickets year-on-year for this month. Given high volatility in consumer behavior, our omnichannel proposition drives sustainable sales growth for our retail chain and online store. In Q3, we managed to maintain strong growth in online business that increased by 2.4x year-on-year with a 21.4% share of total sales in Russia. In October, we maintained the same online sales growth, and the share of online sales reached 27%. In Q3, we continued to expand our retail chain, opening 10 new Dätwyler stores and two Zozavr stores. We usually open new stores in the period of high season in Q4. Thus, we expect that at least 40 new Dätwyler stores, as well as 10 new Zozavr and 10 Dätwyler PAP stores will be launched in the last quarter. Given this plan and actual results of nine months, we should have at least 832 Dätwyler stores, 15 Dätwyler PAP, as well as 23 Zozavr stores as of the end of 2020. We continuously focus on execution excellence by optimizing costs and improving the efficiency of the business processes. In the third quarter, SG&A expenses as percent of revenue declined by 1.2 percentage points, resulting in solid growth of adjusted EBITDA margin by 1.2 percentage points. Adjusted EBITDA growth amounted to 24.2%. Finally, we continue to generate substantial cash flow thanks to limited CapEx requirements and efficient optimization of debt capital. As a result, we managed to decrease leverage to 1.1x as of third quarter 2020 against 1.4 times as of third quarter of the last year. And cash conversion improved to 89% for 9 months 2020. Given our strong financial position, the company's management team will recommend to board of directors and shareholders to pay out entire net income as interim dividends for 9 months 2020. Thus, the total amount of paid dividends in 2020 may increase by 11% year-on-year to 7.8 billion rubles, which corresponds to around 10.6 rubles per ordinary share. So let's move to slide 4, and briefly I would like to update you with the progress of key business initiatives which we presented during our Capital Market Day in August of this year. So let's start from development of omnichannel proposition. Today, approximately 80% of online revenue comes from in-store pickup at Dezkimir retail stores, confirming the popularity of this service with our customers. Thus, we continue to open new stores, including ultra-small stores of the Dezkimir pub retail chain, and actively use them as pickup points. Our new mobile app has also been increasingly gaining traction with our customers since its launch in late 2019, already generating over 60% of the total online sales with more than 4.2 million downloads. Given our target of having best-in-class app, we continue to improve the user experience of the Dezkimir.ru online store. And in October 2020, we launched a new personal account, optimized the shopping cart, and integrated Apple Pay and Google Pay into the mobile application shopping cart. According to the first results of the A/B test, revenue per user increased by 15%. And the new topic is an assortment expansion. We set up the midterm goal to achieve leadership in the assortment targeting 2.4 million SKUs. This year, we managed to increase 1P assortment from 100,000 SKUs as for 2019 to 150,000 SKUs. Moreover, we successfully finished piloting stage of launching our marketplace, increasing 3P assortment from 5,000 SKUs as of 2019 to 55,000 SKUs at that moment. In October, we announced the full-scale launch of the marketplace. It means that we have developed a personal account functionality for the online platform, offering all necessary features such as assortment creation and management, analytical reporting, price management, and so on. We plan to further expand the marketplace functionality by adding a promotion management system, financial reporting, and operational analytics shortly. The key pillar of our omnichannel strategy is the close proximity of our customers, leveraging both our DCs and retail chain, and our target sounds like 80% of online orders, excluding in-store pickup channel, should be delivered not later than the next day. Considering action service level of 30%, we plan to increase it by almost 3 times, and in order to achieve this goal, we have to develop the logistic infrastructure. In Q3, we started to implement logistic expansion plan. In July, we opened the first regional distribution center in Rostov-on-Don, which has already achieved a daily production rate of 1,000 orders and met its profitability target by the end of the third quarter. In October, we signed a preliminary agreement on opening a second regional DC in first half of 2021 based on the Russian Post Fulfillment Center in Kazan. We expect to lease the same area size in Kazan as well as we are doing for DC in Rostov-on-Don. In addition, we launched a super express delivery service from Dezkimir stores. Customers in 250 cities across all Russia can now receive their orders within only 2 hours of placing in on our website and mobile app. Moreover, a good number of deliveries in Moscow are fulfilled by our own courier service. And finally, the last initiative for logistics is to increase the number of partnership pickup points and lockers from the current level of 3,000 to 9,000 by first half of 2021. We don't expect a large share of online sales via this channel in midterm, but we would like to be well prepared for any changes in consumer patterns in the long term. And a few words about new verticals. Our pilot at Zozavr Pet Supplier Stores absolutely overcame the sales plan, proving their high effectiveness during the current market environment. So we reiterate our targets of store openings, 500 new stores in the midterm with 30% of online share. Then next year, we will do our best to launch private labels, which is quite important for this business. And given that Dezkimir has become the first Russian company with 100% of free float shares, we think it's important to update you on expected changes in corporate governance. So the current board is looking to form the new board of directors, majority led by independent directors, and the formal search process has been initiated by the nomination committee of the board of directors, which mainly consists of independent directors. The board will in particular focus on candidates with competencies in e-commerce and digital transformation. There is no doubt that diversity factors will be in focus. The company aims to nominate four new independent directors and convene EGM before the year end 2020 to vote on the board candidates not later than Q1 of 2021. So let's move to the next slide, and Anna Garmanova will comment our financial results of Q3 and 9 months in detail.
Okay, thank you, Maria. Dear colleague, before to start, I would like to remind you that also company has applied IFRS 16 from the 1st of January 2018. We continue to present in our presentation our financial results, which are calculated according to the both standard, new one and old one. And on our mind, it will help you to compare our financial results for the previous year. Let's move to the slide number 5 and start with the top line growth. In the Q3, we successfully completed the back-to-school season and started sales of winter collections. Despite the high base of Q3 of 2019 and abnormally warm September, we could accelerate total revenue growth to 13.5%. The repeat store closure due to the spread of the coronavirus negatively affected total sales growth in Kazakhstan, unfortunately. But at the same time, we launched pickup points for online orders at the retail outlets, and it helped us to save 70% of the revenue in Kazakhstan and to achieve positive financial results for the Q3 and 9 month period in Kazakhstan. In part of our like-for-like sales mix, we managed to improve traffic growth in Q3 versus Q2 of this year, but it was still negative with a high growth in CR and number of items in the tickets. As a result, group revenue increased by 9.5%, and in absolute, we reached 98.4 billion rubles. Some words about our product mix in Q3. The share of high margin categories such as toys and fashion products in the total sales of Dezkimir chain in Russia increased by 1.3 percentage point, and we reach about 61% in the total revenue. Of course, it will help us to keep our gross margin, and slightly a little bit later we will discuss it. Finally, online business, as Maria has mentioned before, achieved a solid share of the total revenue. In Q3, online sales growth was 2.4 times with a 21.4% share in total sales of Dezkimir in Russia. The top online performer was back to school supplies plus 3.4 times year to year. Also, toys demonstrate a very solid growth in our online sales, and its total growth was more than 2.4 times year to year. As a result, as you can see at the bottom left part of the slide, the total growth of our online in a 9-month period was more than 2.5 times, and in absolute, we reached 22 billion rubles in absolute. Let's move to the next slide, page number 6, and discuss our profitability. In Q3, we continue to invest in price to attract additional customers to our from our competitors. At the same time, we noticed that most of online and offline players decided to increase their price or relax promise levels this summer. Of course, it will help us to keep our gross margin. Also, there are one more factor which a positive influence to our gross margin. As you can see at the top left part of the slide, we increased the share of private label and direct imports in Q3 to 49.4%. Of course, it's positively influenced to our gross margin, and you can see that we increase our gross margin in Q3 compared with Q3 of 2019 and reach 31.6%. For the full 9-month period, our gross margin in absolute increased by 6.5% and we reached 30 billion rubles. Of course, as gross margin slightly decreased due to lockdown in Q2, which we had, unfortunately. Now let's take a look at our OPEX breakdown. As you can see in the bottom left part of the slide, we continue to benefit from operating cost optimizations Q3. Adjusted SG&A, less amortization, depreciations, and LTI expenses, as a percentage of the revenue decreased to 17.9%, down 1.2 percentage point compared with the same period of the last year. We managed to prolongate most of rental discount, which we received during the coronavirus, and it helped us to reduce the share of rents by 0.7 percentage point. Also, in additionally, we were able to cut personal expenses as a percent of revenue by half of the percent year to year, thanks to optimizations of the staffing schedule. As a result, as you can see at the right bottom part of this slide, the total growth of our adjusted EBITDA in Q3 was more than 24%, and for the 9-month period, it was 15.8%, and in absolute, we earned 11 billion rubles. Also, we increased the EBITDA adjusted margin and reached 11.2% compared with the 10.6% which we had 1 year ago. Let's move to the next slide, page number 7, and discuss our cash flow. As you can see at the right part of this slide, in the first 9 months, operating cash flow before change in working capital, adjusted EBITDA grew by 15.8% and we reached 11 billion rubles. We were able to generate solid operating cash flow despite an increase in our net working capital, which we had in Q2 via coronavirus and lockdown. Net interest expenses and income tax were flat year to year on the back of the decrease in net debt and interest rate. And as a result, our operating cash flow amounted to 2.7 billion versus 3.8 billion in 9 months of 2019. In part of the CAPEX, our investment for the 9 months of this year was 1.2 billion rubles. This is in 2 times lower than we had 1 year ago, but let me remind you that 1 year ago we have one-off investment in our flagship stores, which we had opened in the center of the Moscow. Our net cash used in financial activity in the first 9 months of 2020 amounted to 1.8 billion rubles versus 3.9 billion which we had 1 year ago. Let's move to the next page number 8, some about our financial policy. As you can see in the right top part of the slide, our total debt to the end of the Q3 2020 was 19.7 billion ruble. As Maria has mentioned before, we successfully decreased our leverage from 1.4 times, which we had in Q3 2019, till 1.1 times, which we had to the end of the Q3 of 2020. Also, we successfully decreased our net debt in absolute and reached 18.2 billion rubles in absolute. To the end of the Q3 of 2020, our available undrawn credit limit is 30 billion rubles. Also, during the 9 months of this year, we successfully decreased our weighted average interest rate by 1% and reached 7.4 percentage points. Let's move to the next slide, page number 9, and discuss return to shareholders. In Q3 2020, adjusted net profit decreased by 3.9% and in absolute we earned 2.4 billion rubles. The effective income tax rate was 19.4% versus 18.2% which we had 1 year ago. During the same reporting period, Deskimir experienced fixed losses total of 1.1 billion compared with the income in Q3 of 2019 in amount of 94 million rubles. The main reasons for this is the revaluation of foreign currency liability, this is our countable payables to supplies of goods, as well as the results of the execution of previous open forwards and the revolting of this new one. As a result, group adjusted net profit decreased by 23.2% year-to-year and in absolute we earned 3.8 billion rubles in the first month, 9 months of this year. It's also important to note that the accumulated fixed losses in the amount of 2.6 billion rubles, which significantly affected our net profit under IFRS, is mainly a non-cash due to the revaluations of foreign currency payables from suppliers. The realized fixed losses amounted only in amount of 500 million rubles. Also, let me remind you that, as Maria has mentioned before, we successfully keep our net profit according to the RAS standard on the level which we had 1 year ago. And we will recommend it to our board of directors to pay all this net profit as a dividend. Let's move to the next slide, page number 10, and discuss our guidance. We keep our guidance, which we announced during the Investors' Day in the end of the August. We are going to open at least 300 Deskimir core stores business. Also, we are going to open about 800 new format, small format Deskimir pub and about 500 those up stores. Also, we are going to keep double-digit revenue growth due to our omni-channel business model, with the share of online is 45% of the total revenue in our core business and at least 30% in the pet supplies. Our goal is the leadership in the both market, I mean the children goods and pet market. Also, in the midterm, the product assortment in the children's goods segment is expected to grow to 2.4 million SKUs. Furthermore, we will consider entering the market for digital service and other non-children's products categories. What else? Maria has mentioned before, we are going to improve our logistic network to support the faster and cheaper delivery of online orders. In the midterm, we are going to open at least 3 regional DC with the capex about 100 million rubles per each, and also to open 2 federal DC with the capex about 2.5 billion rubles per each. Our regional DC will be lease model, and our federal DC will be our own. Also, we are going to invest about 4 billion rubles in our IT infrastructure. As a result, we will continue to improve our operating efficiency to maintain double-digit adjusted EBITDA margin in the midterm. Our team expects to confirm dividend recommendations of 100% of all our net profit under Russian accounting standard. At the same time, our expectation that our leverage to the end of each year in the midterm will be below 2x. I think that this is all from our side, and we are happy to answer to your question.
Thank you very much. We will now be moving to the Q&A part of the call. If you have any questions, please press star 2 on your telephone and wait for your name to be called. That's star 2 on your telephone. If you are dialed in via the web, you may also ask a voice or a text question. We will now give a minute or so for the questions to come in.
So the first question come from Kirill Panarin, Renaissance Capital. Kirill, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi everyone. Thanks for the call and for the presentation. I have two questions. Firstly, can you talk a bit more about the initial results of the marketplace and its perception by users and merchants? And also, how do your commissions compare versus other marketplaces currently? I'm just trying to understand, is there any need to invest in lower take rates in order to attract merchants? That's the first question. And then secondly, given material non-cash FX losses this year, do you consider a share buyback in addition to dividend payments? Any thoughts on the possibility and timing of that would be helpful. That's it. Thanks.
Thank you. This is quite helpful question. So in terms of the first part of the questions, in terms of the results of the marketplace, you know, like 1 week ago, we have just announced the full scale of this marketplace. Of course, we like received a lot of requests from merchants, and moreover, that during our pilot process, we also like were quite in close connection to potential merchant suppliers. They really motivated us to quite quickly launch this marketplace in order to be presented in this platform. So now it's too early to say, but in any case, probably in the Q1 we will give to the market more details concerning the take rate level. You know, the one of the like part of our strategy in marketplace to be quite merchant friendly, and of course it will be in terms of the take rate. So we would like to have lower take rate at least during the first stages of this development, but it's quite sensitive to say how much we will be like lower in the take rate.
Yes, in fact, of your second question about buyback, you know that now it's too early to discuss it because, as I have mentioned before, despite of such FX losses, for the 9 month period, our net profit, according to the RAS standards, was on the same level which we had 1 year ago, and the total dividend payment in this year will be higher than we had 1 year ago. That's why, in case if something will be wrong with our net profit and the main issues for it will be our fixed losses, of course we will consider such possibility because you know that our debt, as I have mentioned before, decreased, and our expectation that to the end of this year it will be below than we had 1 year ago. That's why if something will be wrong, we will come back to these questions. Now we don't see any issues which can influence to our dividend payment.
Okay, that's great. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question from Henrik Herbst from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks very much. I had a few questions as well. So firstly, in terms of, I mean, your October sales number looks really strong. I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit on what's going on? I think there is a element of getting a little colder a little bit later in Russia this year versus last year, pushing winter clothing sales into October versus September last year. If you can maybe talk a little bit about how big that impact could be or was, and if there's anything else that's sort of impacting that very strong sales number. Then secondly, I wanted to ask how sustainable you think the lower rents and personnel costs are, if we think about it as percentage of sales. It's obviously quite impressive improvement, but how much of that is sort of COVID driven and sort of return to more normal level as we go into 2021. And then I would just, I guess follow up on the previous question around buybacks. I guess more generally, how you think about your balance sheet. Your target is below 2x, but you're obviously well below that now. And how you think about sort of your optimal balance sheet structure and capital allocation going forward, not just for 2020, 2021, but also beyond that. Thank you very much. Hello?
Thank you for your questions. Let's start to answer, and maybe my colleague will help me if it will be necessary. In part of the October, you know that the growth of our revenue in October is more than 16%, and you know that we have very strong growth on our mind. In part of our winter collections, of course, in October, the weather also was not very cold in Russia, but despite on it, we had good sales in our winter collections, and our forecast for the November, December will depend on the weather in this period of time. But let me remind you that during the last couple of the year, weather during the October and beginning of the winter, every time was abnormal, and despite on it, for the full year, we have the positive growth of our sales, especially in the fashion collection. So we're waiting the November and December. In part of the operating cost, you know that now we receive some extra discount to part of the rent. Our forecast for this year that we will keep such saving in our rent cost and staff rent, and due to it, our SG&A cost will be lower than we have had 1 year ago. Our forecast for 2021, it's very difficult to predict now because it will depend on the total situations in the market, in the situations with the coronavirus, but you know that every year we successfully decrease the share of our SG&A cost, not only to receiving some extra discounts in rent, for example, but also thanks to the growth of our revenue. Because we don't increase our SG&A cost at the same speed where our revenue is growing up. That's why our expectation that in the midterm we will continue to slightly decrease the share of our SG&A cost as a percent of the revenue. In part of our buyback, you know that our expectations and our view that our debt on the level 2x, it's normal and optimal level debt for our company. But in part of our buyback, we need to make such decisions, consider our investment program, because we're going to invest a lot in our logistics and our IT. That's why I think that the main drivers for doing buyback or not will be our leverage on the level 2x, including all our investment in our development.
Thank you very much.
The second question from Alexander Mutarev from VTB Capital. Please, Alexander, go ahead.
Greetings. Congratulations on your impressive result. I have a couple of quick questions, if I may. And the first one relates to the prices. What are your expectations in regards to the pricing environment in the fourth Q20? Here I mean that a lot of the prices are dependent on the functional currency you're purchasing. I mean that the depreciation of ruble is likely to affect certain categories. And how you are going to compensate that? You're going to put prices onto the customers by increasing them, or there could be possibly a downshift in the assortment and partial compensation of the purchasing power.
You know, thank you for your questions. It's very interesting questions, and you know that I think that nobody can answer to these questions only in one way. You know that, of course, any case to increase our retail price will depend on market situations, and if all participants of the market made decision to increase the retail price, of course, we also will increase our retail price without any doublers. But you know that during the first coronavirus in April, we had successful negotiations with our suppliers, and we decrease our retail our purchase price due to it. It will help us to keep our gross margin. So my answer will be the following. Of course, we will we are going to have some negotiations with our supplies and to try to decrease our purchase price for compensating devaluations, and also if market will be ready, we will slightly increase our retail price.
Okay, that's clear, but I think you've made some small estimations on how much you could possibly increase this retail price, no? Like 5-10% or higher?
You know, it will depend on the market. I can tell you that in part of the purchase price, we decrease our purchase price in April by 18%. In currency, of course.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you. And the last question from my side. I heard about this shift possible for new members into the BOD. And is there going to be any shuffles in the management team, or the management team is going to remain in its current constitution?
Alexander, maybe the connection is honestly quite
bad. I just wanted to have the last question. So I heard that you're seeking for 4 new NID members for your board of directors. And I just wanted to ask whether your management team is going to stay in the same constitution or there is going to be some changes to it.
No, we don't have any changes in the management team of Deskimir. It will be the same.
Okay, thank you. That's clear.
Thank you. The second question is the text question from the Paul Treyer from Goldman Sachs Asset Management. So there are two questions. The first, what is the outlook for gross margin given that forex exchange depreciation? I guess that we have already answered, but in any case, maybe.
Yes, maybe I would like to add that thanks to depreciations, you know, our gross margin this year is on the same level which we had 1 year ago. So our expectation that we will continue to keep such a level of gross margin.
Thank you, Anna. And the second question, please update on those our store sales performance relative to the budget. So as we have incorporated in our presentation, you can find that 80% at least, this is the ahead of our budget year to date for the sales. But it's important to say that most of piloting stores we only opened in this year. That is why, of course, it's too early to say, but in any case, as Maria mentioned before, that we have quite aggressive plan, strategy to continue to run this business, to open a lot of stores in the next 3-4 years. So no any material changes to this comment and to this presentation.
Thank you very much. So we, once again, just a reminder for additional questions, that's star 2 if you are dialed in with your phone. Alternatively, you may ask a question online via text or voice.
So the next question from Igor Makeyev, RBC. So please go ahead.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the presentation. I have a couple of questions. So my first question relates to EBITDA margin. Well, it expanded under both IAS 17 and IFRS 16 standards, but its expansion under the new standard was much more moderate. So maybe could you please give the reasons behind it? So it's my first question, and my second question is on pickup points. So if it's possible, I just want to ask who are your main partners in this business?
So I can say the second part about pickup points, I can say that that's all biggest companies such as Five Post, Boxberry, and so on, all big companies, our partners, all will be our partners in the nearest time.
And the first part of your question concerning the differences, as we correctly understand, the main question was the main differences in net income under like the IAS 17 standard and the new standard, IFRS 16, yes? Is it all right?
Well, actually, I was asking about the EBITDA margin. EBITDA margin growth year over year.
You know that the main reason the different view to calculate the lease rent and to term of lease contracts and capitalizations of lease. Due to coronavirus, of course, we need to change our view for capitalizations of our rent because some of our stores were closed from one side. From the other side, for some contracts, we increase the term of these contracts, and of course, it's influence to our lease capitalizations. And as a result, you can see the such dynamic. That's why, on our mind, it's better and more. Yes, it's better to consider our financial results according to the old standards without all these effects.
Okay, thank you. Well, and actually, I agree with you on that. Thank you.
Thank you. So the next question from Maxim Nekrasov from Goldman Sachs. Maxim, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you. Thank you very much for the presentation, for this call. I have a few questions. So first one is regarding the near-term strategy. So we see the coronavirus cases arising and you know, many countries are reintroducing lockdown. So how well are you prepared in case the situation deteriorates and like what are the current plan and what's the outlook you have for the fourth quarter?
So thank you. You know, we are closely, of course, monitoring the statistics of the incidence of coronavirus, not only not only in Russia, but also in the world. And like any person or company, we cannot completely exclude such a scenario. Therefore, we have a clear plan of action in case it comes. Now, thanks to the experience which we have in Q2, goods for children are recognized as essential items in Russia, and government agencies left the vast majority of our stores opened. Except for a number of stores that could not be left open for technical reasons due to the complete closure of the shopping centers, there such stores were located. At the same time, if such case happens, we will expect a decrease in offline traffic with increase in average tickets and CR, as well as a high demand on both online channels, I mean direct delivery and click and collect. This model should compensate any drops in offline revenue. In the event of the second wave, we will be even better prepared for any changes in consumer patterns because we know it from the Q2. And the current business model helps us to increase the corresponding capacity without any material decline of our profitability. So that's our vision.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. And I have a question on the CapEx. So maybe you could remind us what is the CapEx guidance for this year and for the next year, considering your expansion plans in terms of distribution centers?
You know that in this year, I think that our CapEx will be about 2 billion rubles, maybe a little bit higher in case if we need to pay some advances for our federal DC, which we are going to open in Q1 of 2022. But our expectations is about 2. For the next year, you know that our expectations that our CapEx will be about 4 billion rubles. You know that our average CapEx in midterm will be 5 or 5.5 billion rubles. But in the last, in the next year, I think that it will be a little bit low because we are going to open we're not going to open the federal DC in this year, so I think that it will be 3, maybe 4 billion rubles, not higher.
Understood. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Maxim. And we have the last question, once again from Henrik Herbst from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. I just had a very quick follow-up question. I just wanted to check how we should think about working capital for this year, for the rain of Q4, and then maybe perhaps for next year, and if there's any other sort of big things that could move around as we look at your cash flow for the remainder of the year. Thank you very much.
Okay, in part of our working capital, I think that we will normalize the level of our working capital to the end of this year because, of course, Q2 negative affected to our working capital, but our expectation that a solid revenue in Q3 and in Q4 will help us normalize its level. In 2021, our expectation that our working capital will be on the same level which we have in this year, maybe slightly worse due to opening a new warehouse, because it's a normal situation for us. So then when we open a new warehouse, the first time we increase our investment in working capital, but then the turnover of our inventory will be improved. So to our forecast for 2021, our working capital will be on the same level, maybe a little bit worse, but not significant.
Thanks. Can I just sort of confirm? So when you say we'll normalize by the end of the year, you mean that the working capital will be basically neutral. Did I understand that correctly?
You know that the normal level for us is the level which we had to the end of the last year. I think that this is the normal level for us.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So, dear participants, I think that is all in terms of the key questions. This is why we would like to thank everyone for joining this call today. If anyone has any follow-up questions, please don't hesitate and get in touch with us. So, thank you, and we have a very good day.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your questions and for your attention and for your time.